Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the
title
of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did not leave me a little money.
Rolling, Bob.
So, I think that right now, more than ever, all of you need to be recording. And you need to be out in your pajamas, and you need to be on the deck, and you need to be sharing your thoughts with the world. And distract us, please, from the insanity going on. And I would rather be listening to a podcast than surfing Twitter or watching CNN. Or doing anything else. And so you all are doing a public service for me. I hope this has been a public service for ye. It kind of rhymed. It shouldn't have, but it did. I made it rhyme because I'm a poet and I did not know it. But my house shoes show it. They're Longfellows.
That whole seems a bit like a rude beginning, but there you have it. Unless I put something else in before this clip. It is Saturday, July 4th. Happy Independence Independence Day to our American friends out there. It's going to be a weird one. It's just like birthdays and everything else in the year 2020. It's just things just aren't normal. And I hope that you're able to make the best of it. I imagine there's a whole lot of you who, anybody who'd be listening to this podcast, with the exception of one person that I know, would not be a Trump fan. So these are not happy times, and I know you're all waiting for that election in November. Rumors, so interesting, I find that Trump might bow out if he knows he's going to lose. He just doesn't want to be seen as a loser, and it'd be better for him just to bow out of the race and then blame, whoever's he'll find will be responsible, so that he doesn't take any of the heat for losing. Let's move on. It's not all about Donald Trump, that's for sure. Welcome to the Dixon Janes podcast. A couple of cleanup notes here. Jason, who I was going to call Tennessee Jake, I'm not sure he likes that, and I'm not sure why. I just like the name Jake because I can connect that to somebody in the backwoods. And Jake's not in the backwoods. I mean, Jason. But anyway, he got rid of his mother's records, finally. It's a burden. And I find that an inspiration to actually, you know, there's an emotional weight to those things. And he just knew that the right thing to do would be to put them into somebody's hands who would actually listen and appreciate them and enjoy them. And he did that and got rid of a lot of other stuff, too. So I salute Jason. He also put out an episode today on this July 4th, 2020, and ended it with a wonderful song. Can't even remember what it was. You'd have to listen to the podcast. And if you're a listener to this, there's a chance you also listen to Jason Reese on the Up on This Brain podcast. All right, so that was one of the things I had to say. I had a couple of other things. You're going to, starting on this episode, probably, you're going to be hearing some different music. I often talk about the convoluted ways that I arrive at things, and I love it. I love the threads you can follow, and suddenly it takes you to a place you didn't know where you'd get. So there's this little thing with I guess Dave Brodbeck and the Dave Clark Five, and his father had gone to see them the day Dave was born, and so on. We had that in common. I saw them in Montreal, and it really was a good concert. Oh, dear. All right, we're going to have to pause this. We'll be right back. I'm back. That was my sister FaceTiming, and I guess you got to follow the family first rule, even in podcasting. And yeah, she just probably wanted someone to talk to, so we talked. And now I'm back. I just to see where I left off. I think I was saying about to say you're going to hear different music. I'm sure those of you who even listen to the music, and I think most people zip through it or double time it or whatever, are tired of Love and Rockets. So, yeah, I was talking about the weird connections and threads that I love to follow and see where you end up. So we were talking about Dave Clark 5. And then yesterday I watched the video, Having a Wild Weekend, also known as Catch Me If You Can, which was a hit song by the Dave Clark Five. And it was a really good video. It was one, boy, I'd recommend watching if you ever get a chance to see it. I mean, it was a pop video from, what, 1964, I guess. Along the lines of A Hard Day's Night, I guess, except they weren't being the Dave Clark Five as a band. They were just a bunch of young guys who worked together in, you know, they were stunt doubles, I think, for films. But anyway, long story, but it was a lot of fun. So then I thought, oh, they're playing some songs I don't know here. Maybe I'll just check it out on iTunes, you know, and is there anything I want? And I looked at the albums, and I always go through, show all the albums, so it would show anything, even with a Dave Clark, one Dave Clark 5 song on the album, you know, that would be listed there. And I found one called The Roots of Maud. The Roots of Maud, and those of you who are up on British pop culture know about the Mauds and the Rockers and the kind of music that went with that scene, the way the people were. It was the sort of the music that influenced the Stones, the Beatles, and others that came out, most of it from America, that they heard and paid attention to and were inspired by and so on. And a lot of music was, some of it, a lot of it was black musicians that a lot of average white Americans weren't listening to until Elvis Presley came along and stole the music, people like that. And so anyway, I bought it. It was $7.99 for 54 tunes. So I think, you know, usually I try and find a song that fits a theme I'm talking about on the podcast, or there's some connection to me, or I'm thinking of my son and I want to play a song that he gave me that I liked. And there's always a connection somehow, even if it's not evident to anybody except myself. But now you're probably going to be hearing things that may not have any connection other than, ooh, I don't know that song, I kind of like it. So be prepared for a difference. A deck update. I've done 3/5. Yeah, 3/5 of the deck. I've done all the railings and benches, and then of the flooring planks themselves, 3/5. Did some yesterday when it was super hot. And boy, that's not fun. And it's extra hard for me. Things like bending over, because of my balance issues, if I bend anywhere, even if I'm standing up urinating and I lean forward, I lose my balance and I have to be very careful to steady myself again. This is due to the neuropathy, the no feelings in either of my feet. It's these are fucked up things I have. You know, I mean, I downplayed them because, hey, I can still walk and talk. But even now the walking is becoming more difficult. So it's not an easy thing for me to do, but I'm determined to do it all once. And if it needs a second coat, I'll turn that over to my son or my wife. All right. Now, are we done with that? I think so. Moving on to one last point. I'm going to only introduce it here. You've been hearing a lot the podcast that I didn't release, which you can get if you're aware that there was one number missing. I believe it was, 795 or 794. I don't know. You can get it if you email me and say, Ken, can I have the one that you didn't release? And I'm not doing that because I want more people to do it. I'm just, some people skip episodes and won't know and will have missed it entirely. So I'm just saying that's out there, but you have to email me and ask, and I will give a special link to it. But we are on Dixon Jane 798 now. Oh, my God, we're creeping up to the 800 mark. The church, we have church bulletins, e-blasts, they're called, with news and information. Our church has been sold to the Boys and Girls Club, and there'll be changes and so on. But none of us are meeting in person, everything, anyway, everything is online, including now our book study group. We've always had a book study. It's usually been in the winter, and I think I told you the last one that I chose the book about a trans individual, and we explored that topic. Until COVID-19 came and put an end to our book studies, and now they have chosen White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. And this is a book that I was insistent. I'm not going to read that. I've dealt with it on social media. People are sort of telling me how to think and what to think and show more humility and so on. But since the message came from the church, it's like, hey, you can't ignore this, you know, you can't, and I'm saying that in an odd way. It's just like I'm getting the message from yet another source. That's what it amounts to. So it's not that I have to do what the church tells me to do. That is not it, and that is not the reasoning. It's just, I found it cheap, $13.94, I believe, on Amazon.ca, and it's just, here's a sign. Come on, read it. You can disagree and argue all you want, because I'm ready to dismiss and say, well, first of all, it's going to be heavily, heavily American biased. Surely, the American writer. And, you know, but you can't say, oh, but those things don't apply here, because we still do have institutional racism in Canada and personal racism as well. I'm very well aware of that. But I guess it'll challenge me to think, and maybe if I'm open, there'll be some new points that, oh, really, you know, I really hadn't thought of it that way. So all I'm doing now is I've ordered the book. It'll be coming in next week. Stay tuned, because we're not done with Black Lives Matter. We're not done with white supremacy. We're not done with challenging our inner biases. In fact, I had a heated discussion with my wife today on that very topic. So, sometimes there'll be serious things coming up on the Dixon Jane's podcast. But, now here you go. Sam Harris. I'm always talking about Sam Harris, and I'm a big fan, and I know he's probably one of those people a lot of people have on a blacklist. No, he said this, there's been hints he's a racist, so therefore you can't listen to him, or, you know, there'd be any number of reasons why a lot of people would hate Sam Harris. I'm not one of them. I love the guy, and I enjoy so much the quality of his program. If you want to be challenged and you want to be forced to think and listen hard to a podcast, listen to Making Sense with Sam Harris. I'm very sorry. His guest for this week is somebody called Scott Barry Kaufman, a humanist psychologist exploring the depths of human potential. And he's written a book that I looked up latest book, Transcend, The New Science of Self-Actualization, is the reimagining of Maslow's famous hierarchy of needs. It provides new insights for realizing one's full potential, living a creative, fulfilled, and connected life. So that's a pretty good introduction to somebody, and I even looked up the book, but it's still a little too expensive for me to buy. But being a major in psychology in university, and particularly of the humanist as opposed to behaviorist Dave Brubeck style of what is psychology all about, and the behaviorists have won over. I mean, very few people pay attention to humanists, but they're still out there. My hero being, of course, Carl Rogers, and the book, my Bible in my university years, on becoming a person. Client-centered therapy, which, as you know, if you're a regular listener, I experienced full-on during the early 70s in a very good experimental program out at the University of British Columbia Health Science-Centered Hospital when I was experiencing some pretty serious depression and perhaps anxiety, and went through a what did you call it? A group therapy, intensive group therapy, led by a Czech psychologist who had studied this back in the 1940s and 50s. And it was a wonderful, wonderful program. And so I will always be on the side. Oh my God, Phoenix, Arizona, decline. Jesus, who's calling me from Phoenix, Arizona? There's so many spam calls. I just had another one from Montreal. Fuck you. All right, so back to Sam Harris. In this episode of the podcast, Sam Harris speaks with Scott Barry Kaufman about human well-being. Okay, so it's a positive note. We've done a lot of the, I was going to say dark stuff, and somebody might accuse me of being racist. We've been doing serious stuff. They discuss intelligence and creativity, wisdom and transcendence, the history of humanistic psychology, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the connection between well-being and ethics, self-esteem, psychedelics, and meditation, peak and plateau experiences, mortality, salience, the pre-trans fallacy, fear of uncertainty, work and meaning, intrinsic versus extrinsic rewards, pathological altruism, intimacy versus belonging, two aspects of self-transcendence, and other topics. Now, by God, why wouldn't you listen to that? And if you can't pay, because these are paid podcasts, you can send in a letter and explain why perhaps you don't have the money at this time, and you'll be able to get the full podcast. So that is the July 4th episode number 209, entitled A Good Life. I'm just putting a plug out for it because I know I'm really looking forward to listening to this one. And I love the fact of being reconnected with that humanist movement because I don't know. I guess it's over the term fragility. I talked about that on the last podcast, how people are using that in an accusatory way. Don't be so fragile. And I'm saying, fuck you. Be as fragile as you can possibly be to expose your inner needs and pain and real issues of anxiety and suffering and so on. And this idea of wrapping that up while you're too sensitive. You don't know what it's like to suffer because you're white and privileged. I challenge that fucking head on. And I guess that's another reason I've got that book. And it might just simply be a question of language. And we're really probably in agreement. There are no real enemies here. I'm just sort of creating them out of my white defensiveness. Oh dear, here we go again already. And it's not where I wanted to get to, so I'm going to bring an end to that now. I think we've had enough for a start of Dixon James. What podcast is this? What did it say? 798. So welcome, tune in, and here's a piece of music you've not heard before on the Dixon James podcast. Absolutely. Bye for now.
Step right up, folks, and see little Egypt do a famous dance of the pyramids. She walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. Just one thin dime, one-tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks!
I went and bought myself a ticket and I sat down in the very first row. They pulled the curtain up and when they turned the spotlight way down low, little Egypt came out strutting wearing nothing but a button and a bow. Tummy and a diamond big as Texas on a toe. She laid her hair down and she did the hoochie coochie real slow. When she did a special number on a zebra skin, I thought she'd stop the show. Somersault, and when she hit the ground, she winked at the audience, and then she turned around. She had a picture of a cowboy tattooed on her spine, saying Phoenix, Arizona, 1949. Yeah, but let me tell you, people, little Egypt doesn't dance there anymore. She's too busy mopping and taking care of shopping at the store. 'Cause we've got 7 kids and all day long they crawl around the floor.
Decided not to put the bell in because you would have just heard a song and the bell would be probably a rude awakening or a distraction. I have no idea what the song was, so I can't talk about it, but I am looking forward to it. But it will have come from that The Roots of Maud CD that I purchased, and I'm looking forward to going through and saying, ooh, that's a good one, I'll put that one in there. So again, there may not be connection to anything I have talked about. That doesn't matter. This is just different music, okay? All right, that's out of the way. So I had to make notes again today. It is July 5th, Sunday. My wife has gone off somewhere in the car. Yesterday she went strawberry picking, although there was a long queue for the picking, and she and a friend went, and they thought it was just a lot easier to just buy them in the shop. That was right there, Ontario strawberries. And she commented they tasted very natural but not as sweet as some of the ones that we get that are imported. And that was true. So anyway, off she is today. I'm at home and I got, yeah, things to go through. So let's start with, well, something something not funny. So why am I laughing? Just before I came out, I grabbed my coffee and then I'll just catch the news. In fact, I was changing channels, switched from CNN to CBC, and just caught a headline saying, why isn't this, the CBC reporter saying, why isn't this a top news story everywhere? And I thought, oh, God, she's hooked me there. I got to find out, what are they talking about? And it was the problems India is having with two nuclear-powered enemies, Pakistan and China, both fighting for parts of the Indian border. Pakistan and China and India have always had this problem, and now China is getting very, very uppity with the whole world. And it's kind of interesting watching the geopolitics and how I think there's going to start to be sort of a united front by several countries against pushing back a little on China. Hey, slow down. We know how strong you are. We know you could take over the world right now, but please don't. So anyway, I flicked it off right away. I thought, oh my God, I don't need one more thing to worry about. There's enough going on right now. A deck update. Let's do a deck update. Guess what, folks? Yesterday, in the heat of the July 4th celebrations, I finished those last two-fifths, if that's what was left, of the deck plank. So I've done the deck. You had a big, long roller, did all that. All that remains is the stairs. And I decided that's a better job for my son to do. So today, I went out and I hooked up the power washer. Now, you may think that's a very simple thing. Oh, okay, just plug in the power washer. Well, you've got to plug it in electrically to start the pump on the damn thing. And then you've got to connect it to the wand. There's a wand with various spray options, you know. And I had that set up, but I've got to disconnect the hose my wife uses to water her plants. And, of course, I can't get it off. So all I'm seeing is something really simple, like a job, I'll just hose down the deck, which I tried using the regular hose, and it just doesn't work. You need a power washer to really get everything off the deck, and off the steps in particular. So, down to the basement. Great. This is where we keep some of, half our tools are in the basement, half are in the garage. And don't ask me which half, it's just random. But in this case, great. There's a wonderful adjustable wrench hanging up. Thanks to my wife, who's organized all this stuff, you can actually find tools in our basement. The previous owners left a workbench, and I don't make very good use of it, but it is there, and that's where the tools are going to be. So I get that. Well, to come back upstairs with the wrench, I have to pass by my secondary bookshelf. This is the bookshelf that's in the aisle where I was looking for my sci-fi collection. And then I noticed, oh, yeah, yeah, I've got a whole Japan collection here, all kinds of books, including one autographed book from the man who was a prisoner of Hirohito. It's called Guest of Hirohito, who I interviewed when I was living in Japan, a Canadian who was caught in Hong Kong and went through absolute hell, but without the hatred a lot of people ended the war with, and in fact went back to Japan. And I interviewed him for, I was editing a Canada-Japan newsletter for a while. God, the things I've done that I have forgotten. Seriously, things that I should be more proud of. And I'm getting to this. This is there'll be a loop back to this thought. But I interviewed him by cassette tape, which I still have somewhere. I should get that digitized. So, okay. The point is, just like this story I'm telling you, it's not a simple thing just to power wash, because you got to get a wrench. And when you get a wrench, you have to walk past the bookcase. And you walk past the bookcase, you got to start digging through your books. And you're finding these old copies of Mordecai Richler. And you're thinking, oh, Jason got rid of his records. I should get rid of some of these books. And you just get slowed down. So things take time. This is why I can't work at my wife's speed, right? There's distractions along the way. And it's kind of fun. But anyway, I did go up. I did take this perfect tool, adjustable wrench. Yes, it got the nozzle off the hose. Yes, I connected it. Yes, I power washed the steps. And not only that, I finally figured out after 2 years how to wind up the hose properly. You can't do it unless you disconnect on the actual power wash machine itself. You've got to disconnect one end of the hose, of course, and hook it inside this reel, and then reel it all up, the hose, and there's a place to properly wind the electrical cord. And I did all that and carried it and put it back in the garage. So that may seem like nothing to you, but to me, that is productivity. Holy fuck, man. You had one job to do. You got sidetracked because other things got in the way. You need pliers. You need to look at your books. You need to learn how to put this damn thing away. But you did it all, and you feel good. And not only that, I felt good that I, on the hottest days, I mean, on July 1st and July 4th, these two national holidays, I actually was out there with a roller in the hot sun. Well, a little bit of shade thanks to the maple tree. Finishing off our deck. So job done. Good for you, Ken. Glad you shared that with everybody. Aren't they happy too? Okay. Today I was feeling exceedingly happy when I got up, and I'm not sure why. A good night's sleep. I take these heavy-duty pills because of the numbness in my hand. The thing I wear a wrist brace for, carpal tunnel syndrome. And these pills, actually, they're painkillers, and they help you sleep. And I actually get a very decent night's sleep now again. And got up and realized, because I entered all these things into my iCal program, the Austrian Grand Prix was on today. And I watched it, and holy fuck, I haven't enjoyed Formula One for years. Today, I tuned in, and it was one of the best races I've seen. It was exciting. There's newcomers. I had the F1 page open so I could keep track of all the teams and the new drivers. And I shared that with a few people on Twitter. And those few people, Dave and Steve, the two doctors, seemed to enjoy it. Said, good, same time next week. At the same track, actually. So that was a really good race, and it was really fun to watch. I was going to go through all the details, who won, but I don't think anybody really cares here why Hamilton is not my favorite anymore, because he took a 5-point penalty, and so it knocked him off the podium. He came fourth instead of what would have been second because he knocked a poor Thai driver. Now, Thai, he was born in England. Alexander Albon, off, who was doing really well and would have been in the points today. And unfortunately, he tried to pass, and Hamilton didn't give him any room, and he nerfed him, was the term they used on TV, and was knocked out of the race. It was really, really upsetting. We have two Canadians driving in Formula One this year, too. That's unheard of. Lance Stroll, who drives for Racing Point, a Canadian team, Racing Point, and also Nicholas Latifi, who drives for Williams. Now, neither of those teams are great contenders, but still great to have Canadian drivers up there. Leclerc came second, by the way. Bottas and Mercedes came first. Leclerc second in a Ferrari, which was good thanks to Hamilton and his Mercedes being knocked out of second place. And Lando Norris for McLaren coming in third. All right, so next on my list of things to do, there's a Zoom. Kuso, I think I told you the... you still there? Yeah, this is going to be long. I'm sorry. You know, if you need a drink like I do, hang on. I'll get my... I made some iced coffee, or I made some leftover coffee and stuck it in the fridge. Ah, okay. I told you about a group of ex-CUSOs. These are Canadian university students overseas, volunteered in Nigeria, and a couple of good keeners organized a book, and we all contributed, and there was a very interesting book, people describing their experiences, and what a life-changing experience it was to live in a village. Most of the people lived up north, and thank God for me. Especially as I'm wearing my "Gods Don't Kill People, People with Gods Kill People" t-shirt, I was not put in a mainly, the North is all Muslim, and I was more down with the Christians in the South, and that suited me a little bit better. The Yoruba in particular, who were very loud and lively people. Okay, so anyway, there's a book, and so today they're going to have a Zoom conference, and I don't like Zoom conferences, and I have to decide, you don't have to decide, I have to decide whether I'm going to join in with all these people or just say, no, I don't even do it for my church, I really do not want to participate in a Zoom conference, so I don't know why that's there. Facebook, great job reminding us where we are, where we were on this day. 5 years ago, I was showing off my first edition paperback books by the Beats, and thinking I should sell them to a collector. That was 5 years ago, and of course I still haven't. There is a great bookshop, the Great Escape Bookshop, and I know the owner. We've become friends, and she would be the person I would say, hey, would you like to buy these? But there's a couple of first edition paperbacks in there, and so I'd want good money, and I'm not sure she'd want to pay good money, because she'd have to have the customers who'd want to pay even better money to get those books. So we'll see about that. I only bring that up because I was complimenting Jason on getting rid of his records. So, but that was 5 years ago, this very weekend. Ken was saying, I should sell these books. 6 years ago, I was in the Only Cafe on this weekend, July 4th, 5th, drinking a flight of beers. I haven't been in the Only Cafe in back since January. And 7 years ago, my bag was stolen. I had a wonderful bag in my car outside Canadian Tire with my recorder, duplicate to the one I'm holding in my hand now, this wonderful Olympus LS10. And I was able to track down and get one, probably one of the few that were left in all of North America. I was able to get one. That bag was stolen with my GPS, my digital recorder, a copy of this one, my iPhone earbuds, my iPhone wide-angle and macro lens, a tripod, and some personal keepsakes. And I was very upset about it. I put first-world problems, yes, but a loss that saddens me nonetheless, including my favorite bag. The bright side, of course, is nobody was physically hurt. So I posted that 7 years ago today, all right, just so you know. Or I know. 13 years ago, now here we are, 13 years ago today, or this weekend, my final mediation for the summer. I was still doing mediations for the a place nearby, a Boys and Girls Club, not really, a community center in Scarborough. And I enjoyed those a lot. They were very productive. There were only high school kids who got into trouble and maybe stole something and, you know, got their moms upset, and our job was to make them understand the repercussions, the problem of what they did, and find a way of dealing with this so they would not have to go through the court system. And I love that work. It was very valuable work. I really should get back into that work as a volunteer once things are back to the new normal. But also from 13 years ago, I was relearning how to use a clutch on a borrowed car for a weekend trip to Ottawa. So I'm in Toronto. I drove to Ottawa. I have no idea whose car I would have borrowed that would have been a standard. I have no picture of that. So 13 years ago, that's not that long ago. But it had to have been a friend. I have no family here. What friend, and why would I have had, we've always had cars. Why would I have had to borrow a car? Relearning how to use a clutch on a borrowed car for a weekend trip to Ottawa. Honestly, this is one of the, it's exciting to have laid down this trail, I've dropped all these crumbs through Facebook, not so much Twitter, but Instagram, and in particular podcasts like the one you're listening to now, which you may soon be getting tired of. All right, I brought on to my last note. My last note. Previous clip, I mentioned Sam Harris. I listened to it. I saved it so that I can listen to it a second time because I really need to pick up on a lot of the points. And then I went online and I looked for that book, Transcend, The New Science of Self-Actualization. And I had to debate. The other book I bought, The White Fragility, $13.34. I can afford that. This one, $35. I mean, oh, Ken, you can't be going out and just on a whim buying books for $35. No, you can't do that. But it's new. And so yesterday it said, you could have it tomorrow. You know, free shipping. You can have it tomorrow. And I'm thinking, I don't know. So I gave myself overnight to think about it. And this morning, of course, first thing I ordered it. And the reasoning is my brain is working now. God damn it. 3 years, 2 years, 3 years from now, I don't know how well my brain will be working. This is a book that's going to be some heavy slogging. I'm sure it's well written and so on. But it's going to really force me to think, to try and understand, to apply some of the lessons to real life. If I'm going to get anything out of this book that is of value to justify the cost, do it now while I still have a functioning brain. So I'm putting that out there as a note to those of you, because I know some of my listeners have fucking parents younger than me, for Christ's sake. I'm 72, and I told you, when I woke up today, I was happy. I just felt good about things, and I feel good because of the stimulation. I'm buying a book, The White Fragility. It's going to challenge me, but I'm going to face it head on. I'm ordered this book. This is going to be really interesting. What is? It's psychology. That's the thing I study. That's the thing I'm interested in. What is this guy's new take? He's taken the analogy that Maslow didn't like in the first place of this triangle of self-actualization as you get up and reach to the top of the higher levels of being a self-actualized person. And he said he's changed that all. The triangle doesn't really work. It's more like a sailboat. And you've got to have the basic fundamentals to achieve any degree of, before you can really advance in your life and take a step to a higher level, you have to have a solid foundation and no leaks and know how to steer the thing and so on. And I won't go on details now, but that is the analogy he talked about on the Sam Harris podcast before you can unfurl the sails and compete head on with what life throws your way. Wow. Oh, that is a good one. I like that. So I still have things in life that thrill me, that excite me, that turn me on, that make me feel alive, that I'm not just some fucking old man drooling into his soup watching television. You know, there's still stuff ahead. There's still stuff to learn. There's still challenges. There's still thrills. So that's the note I want to leave with you. So, yeah, sorry. I mean, I know probably, I don't know. Well, what the hell? Sometimes I read through notes to guide me a little bit, and maybe some of you appreciate that more, and sometimes I just turn on the mic and talk and see where that gets me. So, there you have it. So I'm going to end this off now. It is still Sunday. It's only 3 o'clock. Oh, my God, I still have the rest of the day left. Had my last beer last night watching the fireworks on CNN and NBC. Fireworks outside the White House in Washington were just too much. It was just one after another, and there seemed no show to it. When you have a really good fireworks show, it is an artistic display. People plan the order which they're going to go off, and it's not just kaboom, 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 but there's like it's an art show. And the one in New York, they sort of had twin. They were parallel, two separate things of the same thing going off in two locations. Was a much, much better show. And I almost cry when I see the Empire State Building. I love that. My dad took me to the top, to 102nd floor. I took my sons up there when we visited New York. There's something else I've forgotten. All the things I think about that, gee, I didn't do enough with my kids. Hey, we had a tour of New York City, man. Just like my dad took us as kids for a tour of New York City. Only this time we went inside the Statue of Liberty. But anyway, don't need to get into that now. Scarborough dude, a very happy dude, a very content dude, a very fucking satisfied dude. Can I shout that? Am I allowed to shout that from the rooftops? Fucking satisfied, feeling fucking good. And that's not a bad way to be, okay? There's enough shit going on in the world. There's enough things to make you feel shitty and push down on yourself and compare yourself to others. And yeah, life has its ups and downs. I just happen to be on a fucking coasting on a really fucking nice high wave right now without the aid of chemicals or anything else. Scarborough Dude, signing out. And here's a bell followed by a tune.
Once there was an old lady who lived in a shoe, had so many children she didn't know what to do. Gave them some broth without any bread, whipped them soundly and sent them to bed.
change from the bell. It was easier for me to reach here in the road track. Whoop, sorry. Putting it away. Shut up now. Okay. It's Tuesday, just afternoon. Sitting here in the front. It's hot, but I've got both the windows open, facing the back. It's quite comfortable. And it's a very good place to read with my feet up, book propped on my knees, which are bent, things at my fingertips, like the rubber chicken. And listen, I have more to say than I'm going to have time for. Usually I don't put this podcast out till Thursday, Friday. It was Friday. It's crapped up anyway. But I'm going to be finished today. I've got 15 minutes left, and I have so much to cover. So I'm going to start with something I saw online, social media, where I get all my stuff. And it's an open letter, which some of you may have seen. I don't know how many would have actually paid attention to, that will be appearing in Harper's Magazine July 7th, which is tomorrow, I think. A letter on justice and open debate. Now, the thing that got me interested was, oh my God, you all know this, when you start reading comments, and it seems the world is just full of assholes, like people who just, oh my God, you just want to smack them, but they're there. So 150 people put their names to this. I'll just give two examples. Margaret Atwood and Salman Rushdie, two people I admire, two writers, two people with courage, and that's good enough for me. There are another 148 people. Sam Harris was not on, and I don't know whether they didn't ask him or if they had asked him, he would have refused. But regardless, there's credibility amongst the people there. And so this is what set me off when you start reading these assholes. Who the fuck are you, some asshole on Twitter, that you can suddenly, you know more than 150 people here who are the best of the best in their fields? Oh, my God. Anyway, I kind of knew when I saw the names that I was going to agree with it. Maybe there's some of you out there who will disagree, but I highlighted a few points, and I'm just going to read them out. It was basically, it was talking about the Times and, to my credit, it's the direction I've been going in anyway. Well, where is all this calling out, this, what's the word, not silencing somebody, but canceling, the cancel culture and so on, because, oh, you said something that's no longer acceptable, you know. And it was a word saying, hey, the essence of the letter was, we have to be able to be open for discussion. That's how you improve democratic societies, by being able to listen to each other, talk. Sometimes people aren't going to agree with you. But to shout people down or silence them is not the way forward towards progress. You know, it works in dictatorships and so on, but not in this world. So I just highlighted some quotes. This needed reckoning has also intensified a new set of moral attitudes. The needed reckoning meaning, hey, rethink about our police force, things about our culture, the inequality, all the things that we're aware of now that are, you know, front and center in social media and on television. This needed reckoning has also intensified a new set of moral attitudes and political commitments that tend to weaken our norms of open debate and toleration of differences in favor of ideological conformity. Now, there you go. Fucking ideological conformity. Hey, you didn't post this? Well, you must be on the other side, and you're wrong. Another quote. The free exchange of information and ideas, the lifeblood of a liberal society, is daily becoming more constricted. Ooh. While we have come to expect this on the radical right, censoriousness is also spreading more widely in our culture. An intolerance of opposing views, a vogue for public shaming and ostracism. Think about that person who wrote the Harry Potter series, and suddenly, because something she posted about trans, she is canceled. Fuck you. Sorry. I don't need my editorial comments, I suppose. and the tendency to dissolve complex policy issues into a blinding moral certainty. Fuck you. Yes. Okay. It is now all too common to hear calls for swift and severe retribution in response to perceived transgressions of speech and thought. Now, for so long, and if you go back in the history of Dixon James, you will see me talking about Chairman Mao, re-education camps, and there was this feeling early on, this is where we're heading, you know, that, hey, you need to be re-educated, and we'll tell you exactly how. And then they give examples. Editors are fired for running controversial pieces. Books are withdrawn for alleged inauthenticity. Journalists are barred from writing on certain topics. Professors are investigated for quoting works of literature in a class. A researcher is fired for circulating a peer-reviewed academic study. And the heads of organizations are ousted for what are sometimes just clumsy mistakes. And that's exactly what our good friend from the quote from last week, Bill Maher, was referring to. The result has been to steadily narrow the boundaries of what can be said without the threat of reprisal. Fuck you. Exactly. I mean, Jesus. I mean, this is so right on and so important. And it'll go out, it'll reach a lot of people, but the people, especially those who post tweets, who know better than Margaret Atwood, Salman Rushdie and others, they've already got their minds made. No, this is just, you know, these are rich writers who just want us to buy their books. Fuck you. As writers, we need a culture that leaves us room for experimentation, risk-taking, and even mistakes. We need to preserve the possibility of good faith disagreement without dire professional consequences. Okay, I'll leave it there. I thought that was a very important statement coming at a very important time. Feel free to disagree and be wrong. Ooh, life labs, I don't need that. So where are we? I guess that's about it. I think, yeah, well, except for the next topic. That took up half my time. But I needed to share that. I really did. And I felt, oh, God, it's the word I'm always looking for. Not authenticated, but when you said something or thought something and then you get support that, aha, vindicated maybe? I don't know. So anyway, now I'm going to jump to Transcendence, the New Science of Self-Actualization, the book that came in yesterday by Scott Barry Kaufman. I am so glad I got this. Now, I don't know if you heard or how much I shared about the tentativeness. Ooh, should I buy it? Oh, it's $34. Am I going to read it? But knowing inside on that gut level, the level you have to trust, knowing, of course I want this book. It's all, the quotes are Rollo May, Eric Fromm, Carl Rogers. Now, these are people I worshipped. And this is 50 years ago. This is exactly 50 years ago, the middle of my university years. And this guy has dug up those people and those quotes, that branch of humanistic psychology, and brought it back to life. And this is a thrill to me. And so this morning, very early, I realized on the first quote, I've only gone through the preface and the introduction, and now I see there's a prelude as well. So I'll do that today as well. But I got out the yellow highlighter and said, no, fuck you. This is my book. I'm not reselling this. And, you know, I need to get through this. And my brain needs me to, you know, be reminded. So I'm just going to read out a few quotes. You're going to get more. Now, just please take note. I loved the Robert Mitchum book, but that's finished. That's done with. And there was nothing there that I really needed to share with you. This book is about things that the reason I'm doing the Dixon James podcast. I want to grow. I want to be a better person. I want to reach a higher level of understanding and awareness. And this, I cannot imagine a better guide for me right now than this book. And so I'm so glad. Thank you, Sam Harris, for interviewing this man. And thank you, Ken, for trusting your gut instincts. Just fucking order it, man. You need it. So he ends the introduction with, "I believe in the fundamental capacity of humans for growth." Now, that may seem like nothing, but it is a starting point. A lot of people simply don't even think about this. You just live your life. Not you, because Dixon Jane's listeners are a special group of people. But so many just live, and they don't put any thought into, how can I be better? They're aware of dissatisfaction in their life, but often they want to make that up. Well, if I had a newer car, a better car, if I had fancier clothes, if I had that shirt, if I had more money, if I got that promotion, and all the other things in life that are going to help them with their issues of self-esteem. And this is just moving in another direction altogether. So a great, great quote by Nietzsche. "There is one path in the world that none can walk but you. Where does it lead? Don't ask, walk." That's just like a haiku. That's something Kerouac would say. That's so Kerouac. "There's one path in the world that none can walk but you. Where does it lead? Don't ask, walk." The good life is about the healthy expression of needs in the service of discovering and expressing a self that works best for you. In other words, we each have our own routes and paths and ways of getting there and our needs. And a reminder from Carl Rogers, "The good life is a process, not a state of being. It is a direction, not a destination." I'm going through this backwards. Somebody talked to their humanistic psychotherapist and said, even though, and the analogy is no longer the triangle of the self-actualization that you're familiar with, and I certainly was and loved, it is now a boat. And the boat has two sections, sort of the base of the boat, it's security, and the top part is the sail, and that is growth. So he's divided all those, the hierarchy of needs, which lead towards transcendence at the top, he's divided them into two sections: security, which is safety, connection, self-esteem, and growth, which is in the sails, which is exploration, love, and purpose. So that works out quite nicely. I was seeing that somebody quoted, "Even though you're alone in your boat, it's always comforting to see the lights of the other boats bobbing nearby." And that's what I hope the Dixon Jane's podcast is to you. I am just another boat bobbing in the same waters. And if you can get something from me, from this, from my insecurities and hang-ups, and latch on to part of my journey, I hope it helps you on yours. God, this is fun, isn't it? Rollo May, "Life comes from physical survival, but the good life comes from what we care about." So he describes transcendence, which is the title of the book, is a perspective in which we can view our whole being from a higher vantage point, with acceptance, wisdom, and a sense of connectedness with the rest of humanity. Now that's where I've got to get to, and I've got a long way to go on this journey. I'm aware of what I want, but to get there, it's another story. Mentioning of apes and our, we are all apes, but we apes are insatiably curious about personal identity, creative expression, meaning, and purpose. And that's something the other apes don't have. The drive for exploration, I'll define that later, is the core motive underlying self-actualization. And what does he mean by exploration? It's a desire to seek out and make sense of novel, challenging, and uncertain events. And I think about that, aha, the one-way ticket to Japan, the signing up for this 2 years in a village in Africa, that was exploration. And both those journeys helped me immeasurably. I mean, really were a huge part of my life journey that got me to where I'm sitting right now, which is a pretty goddamn happy place. While security is primarily concerned with defense and protection, that's the base of the boat, exploration, up in the sails now, is primarily motivated by curiosity, discovery, openness, expansion, understanding, and the creation of new opportunities for growth and development. Now, I saw that in joining my church. That became kind of a new opportunity for growth and development. Yes, indeed. I'm thinking as I read this a lot of my friend, who I've shared a lot of private exchanges with, and I won't repeat those here, of course, but the fellow I like to refer to as Jake from Tennessee. And since getting this book, I've been thinking about Jake, because Jake, I know, is one of the people who would read this, because we shared a lot about The Artist's Way, which I think he turned me on to. So, Jake, I'm saying this is a book for you when you're ready, when you want it. I'm sure you've got other things to do right now. Okay, so I guess I shouldn't really just go through reading random quotes to you, although I'm only reading the ones I've already highlighted. The human condition isn't a competition. It's an experience, indeed. One more point. Oh, my God, we're out of time. Deficiency versus growth. This is Madlow's thinking, that when we have deficiencies, those are the things we work on to make ourselves feel better, and they drive us. The greater the deficiency of these needs, the more we distort reality to fit our expectations and treat others in accordance with their usefulness in helping us satisfy our most deficient needs. So we're driven by deficiencies. Okay, I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling lack of love. I'm feeling lack of self-esteem. How am I going to fill that deficiency? And that shapes our outlook, and it drives our behavior. But the flip side to deficiencies are growth. Growth wisdom is more about what choices will lead me to greater integration and wholeness, rather than how can I defend myself so that I can feel safe and secure, right? So you've got these two forces of anything, on any of those levels in your life, you're driven by these two variables, deficiency and growth. And growth is the one that will take you in a better direction, but you can't have that unless you've dealt with the deficiencies too. So he makes a real point. This isn't just about a key to happiness. It's not about happiness. It's about being more fully engaged, right? Most of us do not self-actualize because we spend most of our lives motivated by deficiency. And I would say that's true in my case, and that's why I'm reading this book. So, boys and girls, I'm going to end it there. I've done a lot, but I just got to tell you, I feel so real now. I feel so solid. I feel so optimistic. I feel so open to life. I feel so good overall because I went ahead and bought this book. Now, remember, I bought the Robert Mitchum book. I bought the Isaac Asimov books. I bought the White Fragility book. All these other books, too. But this is something really close to the heart. This is something that is for me and is the journey I want to be on. And I'm excited about that. And I just hope there's some way my enthusiasm can be sort of transmitted out there and shared with you to some degree. So I'm going to sign off. There'll be no chicken. There'll be no bell. It's just the usual slamming of the barn door. Yeah! Scarborough Dude, signing out. Bye for now.